Well, hello, hello. It's Bobby here from NextGen, founder, lead engineer, and hope everybody's having a great day. It's September 10th today, 2019, and I was surfing around the internet a little bit, and I ran into one of the copycats of our commander, as a matter of fact. It looks like a copycat from the front, but well, the top, I should say. And then you look at the sides, and it's got the really, really, really cheap, cheesy. And I mean, they're cheesy. Not because I say so, because the quality is lower quality. One of those C4 Labs cases, it's just rubbish. Not even fractionally close to the quality of a next-gen case. But that aside, I noticed that the person that had programmed it, seemed to be a couple of people who were doing the programming, activated the touchscreen. And at first, I thought it was pretty cool. Now I'm looking at it and seeing all the features, all the functions, and all the things that they did. I mean, you know, it's cool. I'll put it this way. It was entertaining until I started listening a little bit more. It was one of the well-known people doing a review on it. I won't mention his name because I like the guy a lot. And he's doing a review on it and showing all the features, and you can power it on, power it off, and all this and that, and it must be 50 different functions that you can do on the screen. And then I started thinking. I said, okay, so the touchscreen's kind of activated, which is not rocket science to do. We could do it if we sat down to do the programming. We just didn't see a point in going that far into it. And I'm going to tell you why we didn't really pursue it, and I'll tell you why we're not going to pursue it. Logic. When you start adding hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of lines of code into the Nextian editor, which is a pretty good editor, it's limited, it's kind of rudimentary in some ways, it's kind of complex in others, but it's a pretty good editor, which is free, freeware, shareware type thing for the Nextian screens, which is cool. Anybody can download that. And to integrate it, though, to integrate it and interface it with PyStar, here's where things started getting weird. As I was watching the presentation, and again, the presenter I like a lot, I'm not going to mention his name, but I really like the guy. He's cool. And he's talking and talking, going on and showing all the screens and the features and functions. Then the uh-oh came out, where it was highly recommended by the person that's selling this thing that you have to soft power it down. You can't, it's not like a Rugged Spot or a Commander or any of the next gen line where you can just jerk the power out of it and you don't have to worry about it. It's not a problem. It's never going to be a problem. Just providing, there's a few caveats with that. As long as you're not saving anything at the time you pulled that power out, you didn't make a change, and then you pulled it out in the middle of a save, that's going to cause problems. That will corrupt command lines. But providing you're just in normal function mode, even if somebody's talking on the radio, you can just jerk the plug out of a next-gen, any next-gen, and you're never going to suffer any damage nor any repercussions. Micronode in Las Vegas, they learned that the hard way. You cannot hard shut down one of those Micronode units. I had heard a lot of rumors about it. Then I started speaking to people that own them, and it kind of comes into for the same reasoning. They put a lot of extra code onto the image, onto the PyStar image. I'm not really sure how many lines of code, but typically when you code something and it starts looking complex, right out the gate, you're at pretty much a minimum 500-600 lines of code. And then when you start adding features, like every page it can be up to, another 200-300 lines of code to run and control all the features on a touchscreen. It's just programming 101. I mean, that's kind of how it works. So this screen, after I was looking at it, and a gentleman that was doing the review was, pushing this and that and the other thing, and I mean, it does 50 different things. None of them changed the function of the machine whatsoever. Not one. And then I heard the uh-oh. I went, and I really kind of I kind of seized up and went, oh boy, here we go. Here's the problem. Oh, well, here's the button, because with this particular programming, you have to soft power it down. You can't just pull the plug out of it. Well, I don't know a lot of hams that like that, that are going to utilize the machine in that way. Hey, let's say you're running on batteries and your batteries run out. That's a hard shutdown, right? And no two ways about it. It's a hard shutdown. And that was the moment I realized that all that code, and I don't know if it was, 1,500 or 3,000 lines of code that they probably added onto that particular PyStar image between that and the Nextian screen programming. But something in there somewhere prevented that machine from being hard shut down the way most hams will probably most likely shut that machine, shut down a hotspot. And that was the uh-oh moment, or the aha moment, of where the Achilles heel was in that particular machine. And it's due to all the, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of lines of code that always causes a little complexity, and, you know, there's always going to be firmware updates. And that's another thing. The gentleman that was doing the review was mentioning about, oh, and you have to update the firmware. I know there's a firmware. Well, the reason there's going to be multiple firmware updates, because they're going to start discovering multiple areas of collision. Collisions are a very bad word in software programming, because that usually means freeze up or auto shutdown. And collisions in software is never a good thing. Look at Microsoft. It collides all the time, but they have, you know, 400 lines, 400,000 lines of code in those some of those programs. But a very small, you know, low power machine like a hotspot, you even add 500 lines of code and you just opened a big giant bag of worms. Not because I say so, and I'm not knocking what they did, because I thought it looked cool, but the trade-off is stability, and that's what the next gens are known for. Stability, solid running stability, the ability to pull the power out of it at any time and not suffer any damage and not suffer any consequences due to a hard shutdown. Again, Micronode in Las Vegas, they learned that, and if you have one of those micronodes, they rather adamantly tell you, you must soft shut down a micronode unit. You can't just pull the plug out of it. You will corrupt it. And it does, because many people that I had spoken to that owned them before they bought a next gen, that's how I learned about it, they told me, it's true. You shut that thing down hard, or you pull the cord out of it, or it runs out of battery, it's a problem. It's a whole reprogramming phase again. So I'm just pointing something out. And another thing, this particular machine, and I'm not going to give the individual, which I don't like very much, I'm not even going to mention his name because he's not going to get any press from me. But the gentleman that made this particular machine, which is, again, the cheesy C4 Labs case, that is a copy of our Commander, only super low quality. I happen to know for a fact that the hats that they use are low quality. And I'm not just saying that or just putting it out there. The reason I know, at the time, this was 12 months ago, in the first 60 days, we learned a tremendous amount about hotspots, a tremendous amount, made a lot of adjustments. But the hats that were on that particular unit, because I knew the gentleman, and I had received by accident a shipment of 30 hats that they had ordered. And I'm going to tell you, as an engineer, as the founder of the company, and as someone that knows what he's doing with electronics, they were a cluster, because I actually tested them all. The person that had sent them to me by accident, which I was using at the time, it was Fly 15 on eBay, absolute junk. The boards are a year old. The Gerber files are over a year old. They're still using the passive components, which are very problematic, and the oscillators are cheap oscillators. That's the reason that we terminated any relationship with that particular vendor. Again, it's Fly 2015 from China. He sells on eBay, or they sell on eBay, whoever they are, over in Shenzhen, China. And those boards, I know for a fact, because we had a number of problems with those boards, the oscillators were all over the map. Well, when I received a shipment by accident, the seller freaked out and he said, oh, no, don't do anything. Don't do anything. Just put it back in the box. Send it right back to me. No, I can't do that. I tested every single one of them. Out of the 30 boards, 8 of them flat failed. The oscillator was so bad in them, they wouldn't hold a TX for more than 3 or 4 seconds. They were going on and off, on and off. That's an oscillator. So 8 of the 30 boards had an oscillator problem, which didn't surprise me at all. It's one of several reasons why we terminated them and started having our own boards made. They were made in China, but our specifications, our passive components, our quality control. So anyways, getting back, I kind of want to stay on the theme here of the NextGen screen with all the functions and all of our NextGen products, by the way. Every single NextGen machine hotspot that has the NextGen 2.4 or 3.2-inch screen, which are the two screens we currently have, are all the touch screen. We installed those intentionally because we knew over time there'd be an evolution and there would be some touch features added. And which I are the aforementioned, a hotspot that I'm talking about had a boatload of them. I mean, kind of like overload, a big time overload, in my opinion. It was too much. The bottom line is, out of all that glitz and glamour, all the bells and whistles of the touchscreen, there was not one single solitary added function to that hotspot. Not one. Not a single one, not even fractionally close. They did the exact same thing all the next gen hotspots do. Only difference is they have thousands of extra lines of code in both the NextGen screen, because there has to be a combination between the NextGen screen and modification of the PyStar image. Those two things, and that kind of those two areas where collisions happen. And the collisions happen in software all the time. They can happen. When you don't follow the philosophy, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, and you get crazy with something, you're going to have collisions, particularly when you have two pieces of software. You have the NextGen screen software, and then you have the PyStar software, and there's a tremendous amount of coding to interface those two together. And again, that was just one of the reasons, just what I knew about and what was done on the review, where in fact, the machine basically will crash if you pull the cord out of it, or if you have it on battery power and you accidentally take the cord out of it, the damn thing will crash. Then you've got a corrupt image. That's just not cool. It's not cool at all. Again, it's one of several reasons why we haven't really pursued doing anything with the touchscreen, although every single next-gen unit does have a NextGen touchscreen, if it's a Commander series, that is, or the Traveler. But we haven't done anything with it because we didn't really, looking at it logically, we just could not find an advantage, just couldn't find a benefit in doing that. And when I saw this particular NextGen screen today, it really solidified the reason why we didn't pursue doing that, to be quite frank with you. Tons of bells and whistles, but not one single solitary feature. Not one that all the units already have that you can do in PyStar. Not one. There were just no advantages there. There was no there, I guess you would say. Just a cluster from what I could see. And the review was, it didn't really show any advantages. As a matter of fact, it didn't show one. And I watched it 3 times just to see if I missed anything, because I was waiting for some feature to pop out of the woodwork. There was nothing. There was just nothing. So the next gen units are solid. They can be shut down with absolutely no penalty to pay. When you shut down a next gen, you hard shut it down. You're not going to crash it. You're not going to crash the program, providing, again, you're not doing a save routine. Then you will crash it. But if you're not doing a save routine, you just use it in normal everyday operation, not going to have any problem whatsoever. ever with the next gen. Whereas this, brainchild of this particular person that created the screen with all the, 50, 60, I don't know, different little bells and whistles and multiple screens. To me, also, as I was looking at it, I was getting tired. I was starting to go to sleep. I'm thinking, I just want to talk on the radio. I don't want to go in and be fudging and fidgeting. Let me put it this way. I don't need another cell phone problem. I got enough with the cell phone I have, checking emails and other things I do on the phone. And I'm not one of those type of people, by the way, that I'm enamored with the phone. When I'm talking to somebody, I don't have the phone in my hand. I think it's rude. I think it's really rude. Standing in line, whatever, at the bank, the post office, I don't have my face stuck in the phone. I don't see any purpose in doing that. That the phone, at that point, your phone's controlling you. You're not controlling your phone. The phone is controlling your thoughts, your emotions, and it's habituated you to use it. I see the same issue with this screen. I'm coming back to something here. With the screen on the Nexian screen with all the 50 bells and whistles, going every which way but sideways. It's the last thing I want to do when personally, and I think a lot of people would agree with me, the last thing I want to do is have a screen where I have to start managing this thing rather than just using it. And that was the primary reason we did not pursue any advanced touchscreen program on the Nexian screen. We just figured people had enough. People already have the Apple phone or their Android. They've already got their face, pushed into that. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but the average person looks at their phone 160 times a day. Think about that. Think about your habits. Now, do you want another device for your hobby, your ham radio, where you're going to end up getting habituated like that? Then that goes up to an average of 320 views a day where you're looking at a little screen. No, not me. And I think most people would agree, enough's enough of that stuff. We're kind of married to our cell phones these days. I'm not so much married to my cell phone because I control it. I don't let that phone control me. I use it when I use it. And when I'm not using, I put it down. My face is not in that phone for entertainment. It's only for business, friends, family. That's it. Period. I think a lot of people can relate to that. So I'm not the one of the people out there as good as face in that phone 160 times a day. But there are a lot of people that are that way and then do get habituated. And that cell phone is basically at that point, that cell phone's in control of your habits. It's basically wrangled you. So in my philosophy, I'm not going to have another device, be it a hotspot or anything else, that's going to get me or try to habituate me to pushing buttons and get me focused on that. There's a lot more important things in life than looking at a cell phone, and a whole lot more things important to life than playing around and messing with a little, 3-inch screen all day long. No, thank you. I'll pass. I think most people are going to adamantly agree with me on that. Again, that was getting back to the point here. One of several reasons why we did not pursue that with the Nexian screen. There are certain things on there that are cool, certain types of touchscreen functions that I like, but I only like maybe 2 or 3. The rest of them are just garbage and absolute rubbish, in my personal opinion. So I'm going to wrap it up there. Just wanted to share a little bit, though. The Nexian screens absolutely, positively, without question, can be programmed so that touchscreen is highly interactive, but How much of your life do you want to spend looking at that little screen, particularly when you're talking on ham radio? Don't you want to just enjoy the radio, see who you're talking to, and see their call sign pop up? I think that's enough. So, Bobby, KM6IKH, founder and lead engineer here at NextGen. I want to wish you all a absolute wonderful day. Have a great week ahead. And we'll talk to you soon. 73, catch you on Down the Wog.